save the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to 2012. I say that again, because if you haven't already heard our first interview of the 2012 season, you wouldn't have heard me introducing you to the new year. So I will take this time for everybody else and say welcome to the new year. Welcome to the new year, Mike.
Thank you, Sean. Yeah. I'm excited it's 2012. We've been waiting so long for 2012 to see the brand new IndyCar that blows away all our expectations.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it because the Mayans said this is the year the world's going to end.
I mean, clearly it's going to end. I guess that's because, WRC is back at Monty.
Oh, it is the first sign of the apocalypse. All right. Well, we've got kind of a light show for you. So for those who like the longer shows, I apologize. You won't like this one. But if your name is Andy and you're the speed geek, you might appreciate less of us talking because we are going to talk about how you smell bad.
Wow. is this what this has come down to?
No. Well, he sent us an email.
Yeah.
And he said that you can make fun of me for stinking. So I'm doing that.
Yes, I recall that now.
But I have yet to send him a reply to the email because I've been a bit busy today. But I do anticipate playing in that fantasy racing. So Andy, if you're listening and I haven't sent you an email yet, count me in. So I will gladly draft a team of all stars, including Michael Schumacher, Jacques Villeneuve, and Bruno Senna. Just to add that interesting nice team dynamic.
And Nelson Piquet Jr.
Yes, of course. And maybe Fernando Alonso with him. No. So let's see. We're going to start off with our rally coverage tonight. If you didn't hear it already, I highly encourage you head over to openpaddock.net. I had the distinct honor of talking with one Mr. Colin Clark about the WRC. You may know him from the World Rally Radio or those awesome iRally videos we put up on the webpage before each WRC event and sometimes before an IRC event. And we have just fantastic conversation about 2011, who was really shining. You know, some of the we got into real good conversation on the inner Citroën team dynamics. I mean, if you are a rally fan or thinking about starting to follow the WRC, please, this interview was fantastic. Not from my perspective, because anything I do is not overly fantastic. But Colin, you know, kind of fireman's carried me across the line and carried me through the interview with just some absolutely fantastic insight into the championship. And we just had a great time. It was kind of like sitting at the pub almost with a beer, only we didn't because it was really early here and it was only midday in the UK, which he might have had a beer. it was just great conversation about the championship and where it's going into 2012 and some of the young talent that's cropping up through the ranks. So I think, you know, if you're a rally fan or a soon-to-be rally fan or you just want to know what the WRC is about, that is definitely a good way to get introduced to the sport. Because there's no better person, I think, on the planet to talk about rally with than Colin. So much respect, much props, and thanks again, Colin, for coming on the show. That being said, let's move into some of the news that we had for the WRC, and that is Rally Argentina has come out. As you remember, this year we're going to start getting into the enduro rallies, if you will, the long-distance rallies. And one of those being Rally Argentina. Now, obviously, home to the Dakar rally that's going on right now that Stefan Petter Hensel leads. However, Nasser Al-Attiyah won the second stage today in the Humvee, or the Hummer, or whatever Robbie Gordon calls it.
Oh, my goodness.
What's that?
The Chinese Humvee? Isn't it owned by... Yeah, never mind. Don't quote me on this, but I thought the Hummer brand was bought by a Chinese company.
That may well be. I personally never followed the brand because I thought it was the biggest waste of time of all time.
So, yeah, I'm thinking they're not getting much factory support on that one.
No, I don't think so.
Made with China.
Yeah, made with China.
they sent banners.
Yeah. It's draped off the back of it like a flag.
Good luck with the race. Here's banners.
Yes.
Anyway.
So yeah, it's okay. It's not going to be the Rally Argentina is going to be close to 300 miles in stages. However, it's not really going to deviate too much from its usual setup. It is going to be still based in Villa Carlos Paz. And it's got some really long stages. We're talking about four days. The typical 4 day kind of event. Now, but we have a 3 mile super special the 3 mile stage to open things up. I assume that to be the super special. And then we have stages that are 32 miles, 27 miles, 41 miles.
Woo.
The El Durazno Ambul. That is going to be amazing. And then we also have, not to be left out, we still have the very popular El Condor stage. That's a much shorter 5 mile stage, but very popular at the rally. So I'm really excited. I'm really excited to see where we go with these longer rallies because, you know, it's been a long time since we've run one like this in the WRC, and it'll be interesting to see how the cars, these new Formula Rally cars, handle that kind of a distance.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun. It may be whoever is best at turning a wrench.
Yeah,
mid stage.
Working on the car, just like
exactly. Oh, geez. Yeah, I imagine that the teams are going to be allocating a little extra weight for repair parts and everything on stage.
Perhaps. So it'll be interesting. We'll see how it goes this year because we're only a couple weeks away from Mani. Mani is on the horizon. So the 2012 season is already upon us. It seems like just yesterday because I think it actually was. We were concluding the championship for 2011. And here we are right back into it with Monte Carlo and Sweden. Oh, just going to be an amazing year to be a rally fan, I'm telling you. Let's see. Also, we should probably mention the big news that we haven't covered since vacation, and that is the whole mini deadline stuff that went down right around Christmas time. And that, if you want a really good explanation of it, listen to the interview. I hate to keep shamelessly pimping it, but he did such a good job explaining it. I just want to make sure that I don't do any injustice to it. But the rally itself or the mini rally car, that is, the mini John Works Cooper, is run into some issues here as of late. And it looks like the reason, and unfortunately, a side note is that Chris Meek will not be driving in the car, at least immediately, if at all, during the 2012 championship. There will be two minis on stage for all of the rounds of the world championship, but Chris Meek will not be participating, whereas Danny Sordo will be the primary driver. And then what Minis decided to do, or Pro Drive rather, has decided to do is lease out the second car to a local driver.
Can you say that this sounds like the budget didn't come in that ProDrive was expecting from Mini?
And that's it's a number of things really, and it comes down to this: what Dave Richards over at ProDrive did was gutsy. He was trying to really undertake a full two-driver, two-car championship on such a stringent budget. And what's happened is there's, you know, the primary sponsorship has not come in. There was the assumption that some kind of sponsorship would be found for the car. The car would be sponsored. And there would not be this budget issue, whereas what's happened is there is a budget issue, sponsorship has not been found, and the original deal that was drafted between BMW Mini and ProDrive was that, hey, this is the amount of money we're giving you, and you are it's on you, ProDrive and Dave Richards, to find the rest of the money to run two cars. Now, that has not happened. As a lot of the CSI and North the North Sports stuff is all, you know, has all kind of come up and not really worked out in anybody's favor, to be honest. You know, the sponsorship wasn't found at the end of the day. BMW said to ProDrive, we're only giving you this amount of money for this year. You got to come up with the rest of it, and they just haven't been able to do it yet. Now, this does give them a year to try and find this this sponsorship, but it is not going to come in right away. So, as unfortunately, Chris Meek is a casualty of that budget, and now it'll be primarily Danny Sordo. Or it will be Danny Sordo driving the car all year, while a second car is rented to a local driver to help kind of pay that cost to run the second car. So, because that's the problem. Running the second car is the problem, and the money that involves running the second car. They can bring it as long as they have a suited renter for it, but if you know, it doesn't matter at that point because, you know, it's not going to be the primary driver that we all thought. So it's left a lot of people cross, but we'll see what happens with it. Again, Colin does a great job on the interview going into this situation and really explaining it in layman's terms for everyone to understand. So I would say that if you really want to find out, listen to that. But that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it in a nutshell, is that they didn't get the sponsorship, and BMW was not in a position to give that extra money.
So. Now, I guess the last question I have, you may have covered it, and I just didn't quite grasp it. Are they officially signed up for World Championship points this year?
You know, I think they extended the deadline to like March. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if they've actually filed for that. Okay. So we're still waiting to see if they've actually signed up as a manufacturer. I'm not sure what they're going to want to do with it because, I mean, what kind of contender are you going to be if you sign up for the championship with a pay driver, basically a random pay driver, or, you know, well, I wouldn't say random, but a probably skilled, you know, a guy who's got some skill in the local area. But I mean, honestly, how's he going to compete on the world stage?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one of the things. It's just, you know, is seeing you may as well just save it and run it as another developmental year, to be honest, and then see where it goes from there for next year and try to secure that sponsorship. So, but I haven't seen if they've definitively said yay or nay on that.
Oh, interesting. Well, that's a bummer for the WRC that they haven't gotten what they thought they were going to get out of Mini. Yeah. They've clearly made a competitive car.
Oh,
and it'll be fun to see this car actually getting developed.
Mm-hmm.
But currently,
And I look to 2013. I think Dave Richards is a fantastic businessman. And I would just wait to see what he has up his sleeve.
And it also could be a matter of cutting their losses and saying, hey, you know, we don't have the budget for it right now, but we can see much more benefit of being involved in this championship when VW comes in 2013.
Oh, yeah, because then you're competing against the best in Europe. I mean, you know, you get the Volkswagen, the Citroen, and then Ford, obviously. I mean, that'll be a robust championship. And, you know, they just need to put together good finishes this year with Danny Sordo.
To
kind of help that sponsorship problem along. So that's got to be primary focus number one. If that means no official entry into the championship, so be it. But, you know, You just need to put on a good show. Otherwise, you're never going to get the sponsorship. So.
Yeah. Man. Her. No. Okay.
Yeah, you know, Colin said it best. Kind of a tragic situation.
Yeah.
So. Well, let's see. And that's it. That's all we have for Rally. For Rally, I mean, if you, like I said, the interview's there, listen to it. That will give you your Rally fix for the week.
Yeah.
In much detail. So let's go ahead and move on to IndyCar, shall we?
Ah, IndyCar.
Yeah, we had finally.
Wait. Speaking of Indianapolis, and since IndyCar, you know, it pretty much is the Indianapolis series, since nobody else really pays attention other than people that live in Indy. today it was announced that the Colts have fired Bill Polian, Chris Polian, and Jim Caldwell, their coach. And that doesn't have much bearing on the IndyCar series. However, I'm a fanboy of the Colts, so, you know. It has bearing on me, and I'm pretty happy to see that development.
That's a train wreck.
Well,
that situation in Indianapolis, the best way that I can describe it is that it is like, you know, the person who always puts a smile on their face, but deep down inside, they have like major problems. We're talking like suicidal thoughts here.
Well, I mean, let's let's just put this bluntly. Caldwell has been a shill. He has been the whipping boy and the puppet of the Polians in that organization, and didn't say a word, didn't say a peep. A lot of times you get him in his press conferences, and he's basically saying, I'm not cleared to tell you that information right now. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And
I didn't think he was overly a great coach, to be honest. No offense to him. I'm sure he's a great guy, but he just wasn't a very good coach.
I think that this was a really difficult situation for him to actually show if he was a good coach or not, because he came into something of a dysfunctional family relationship with the Colts, because the Polians were running Indianapolis with an iron fist. The Polians being Bill and his son Chris. Now here's the funny thing that was going on there. Bill Polian, venerated. He's very well known throughout the league. He's done wonderful things. He took the Bills to 4 Super Bowl losses, and he came to Indianapolis and got 1 Super Bowl win. Pretty impressive. What they were able to do in the last 14 years in Indianapolis, going from, you know, basically nothing with, you know, the year after the Colts went to the AFC Championship game with Jim Harbaugh, the next season was 3-13. They drafted Peyton Manning after that season. The season before, they drafted Marvin Harrison. And then the season after, they drafted Edgerrin James. And everything went very well for, you know, 13 years. Okay, here's the problem with the organization. Bill Polian, his time is done, and he was trying to set up his son Chris to be the next general manager of the Colts. Chris Polian has no resume, none whatsoever. It's like, here's my son. He's going to run the team.
No.
Into the ground. Okay, good enough. Back to IndyCar.
Yeah, well, hadn't Peyton Manning been coming to odds with the Polians?
There have been some comments lately that seem to indicate that Peyton was not happy. And there have been a lot of comments throughout the media that there's been a very dysfunctional organization going on with the Colts. From just the standpoint of the local media was basically blacklisted from talking with Bill Polian. The general manager of the team would not speak with the local media. Whenever he wanted to say something, he called, you know, Peter King or somebody like that to get his information out there. He couldn't. The local media was not allowed to ask him questions.
That's ridiculous.
It pretty much is, and it never fly in New York. It did fly in Indianapolis until people started to make enough stink about it. And, well, it is what it is, and I think the Colts are going to be better for it. It's time to rebuild. You know, you go so many years with winning records and, you know, like 10 playoff runs and everything like that. You know, it's been a good run for the team, but right now it's pretty clear they need to rebuild.
I wonder what would have happened had Peyton Manning not been injured this year. Like, would we be talking about these guys getting fired still, I wonder?
I probably not, but I think more than anything, Peyton Manning getting injured this year proved to everybody that Peyton Manning was so much of this team. Now, granted, from season to season, they were losing talent and everything, and I don't think this year they would have been much more than an 8-win team with Peyton because you know they were just so down on talent and injuries and everything like that. But Peyton, I'm sure would have 8, 9, 10 wins would have been the most that I would have expected this year. I wasn't expecting them to win the division until you know up into the time that Peyton went out. And once he went out, I was like, this isn't going to be here.
Because as always, I always remember seeing Curtis Painter back there. And I was like, and then before that, they had Jim Sorgi from like Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I was like, please believe if anything catastrophic happens to Peyton Manning, this team, even with all of its weapons, if the general is not on the field, they're going to get annihilated.
Yeah. And it's just a. Just a frustrating year.
That's
so,
okay. We'll watch the playoffs together as none of our teams are in it because my Jets lost.
Ooh,
we need to get.
Just what a disappointing year all around for us Open Paddock fans. I mean,
I know.
Kansas City, what they fired their coach too. So yeah, Doug's in on it with us.
Oh, I know. Yeah, our teams are terrible.
We're all drafting so well next year.
All right. All right, well, let's get into the IndyCar schedule. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. We just wanted to give you a, you know, for those of you who don't have Sirius satellite radio, we wanted to give you your NFL Network minute there.
So,
let's talk about the schedule, though, as it was released back around the holidays as well, a week after it was supposed to be released, which drew my ire on the Twitter. But the so it's pretty much what we thought it was. Crown them. we will be going to China for the street course race out there. Detroit and the Belle Isle was obviously on there for Chevrolet and Penske put that together. So hopefully it's better than what it has been. But as we've said a number of times on here, we don't think it will be. California's on there, but the interesting thing is we have 15 races, which is one short of what we need, which is our 16. And the other, there's two TBDs on there.
Possibly.
Yeah.
They're talking about one after the season, which kind of sounded like they're still holding out hope for a Las Vegas street race. That's the only thing that I could really gather on that one. Did you hear anything different?
I haven't heard anything different myself either. I know that Randy was really pushing this off season to get, or was at the beginning of the off season after that after the tragic events happened. Then I know he was really trying to push a street course for next year.
Yeah. It's just you know, the last time I heard they were about $9 million shy of being able to run that event. So they need to get a bunch of sponsors and get them quick because it's not something you can turn around overnight.
Yeah, especially in Vegas. Good Lord.
Yeah, it's different when you're going in and renting a track. I mean, the facility's there. Everything's built and ready to go. All you got to do is be willing to pay the money. So all you're doing is looking for funding. For this, you also have a lot of planning that goes into it that otherwise wouldn't be part of an oval race. So they're not – I just don't see them being able to throw it together at the last minute like they did last year for the Vegas race because, remember, that wasn't announced until – good grief. I mean, it was way late.
Like mid-season, we're going to Vegas. What?
Yeah, that doesn't really fly when you're in a championship battle and suddenly you're told you have one more race.
Yeah, right. Oh,
not so good. Yeah, I mean, okay, great. They're adding in three new-ish events. I mean, they're returning to Detroit and returning to Fontana, which I think was a kart race, but was it ever an IndyCar race? I don't think
Fontana was. I always thought it was a kart race.
Yeah, and they didn't draw well when it was a kart race. So, and then Detroit was just garbage, and hopefully they can do something with the track layout. But, you know, I'm fine with them adding city street course races, but China and Detroit, I'm not really interested in either of them. China, the 6.8-mile street course that they've laid out was like 3.9 miles. It's like, this isn't Formula One. These cars look crappy when you spread them out like that.
We're going to get bored.
Yes. Lap one is done, and the race is...
The beer kicked in, sorry.
Yeah. The Tsingtao beer.
Yes.
Right?
Tsingtao.
It's brewed locally.
Sha, made with China.
Goodness. Other than China, you know, China, Detroit, and Fontana, let's see, the ovals obviously are Fontana and California, I already said that. Fontana, Iowa, Texas, and Indy. Nothing else currently. I think the TBD, one of the TBDs is going to be an attempt to do another Vegas-type deal with another track. Not sure where, but it's pretty clear that nobody wants to take a flyer on the IndyCar series to come in and pay the full sanctioning fee. Everybody's basically telling them, yeah, what you did for Vegas, that was good. We'll do that deal.
Yeah, right.
So the cat's out of the bag. The magic cat's out of the bag on that one. And it's going to be hard to put it back in unless the IndyCar series can show real growth on these events and real growth in the stands. Mm-hmm. 15,000-20,000 people is just going to get them by where they're at. They need real growth. So anyway.
I also heard that maybe Indy Road Course.
There's
like a last ditch if nothing comes together. Because you got to also look, we've also have potential issues with Baltimore.
Yeah.
So we could end up with 14 if that doesn't get squared away, I wouldn't think. Granted, I don't have the inside sources that some other people do. But, I mean, you know, we'll get into the story about that here in a couple seconds. But, they're looking sketch, too. I mean, you got to have something.
Here's the thing that makes me very leery about the Indy Road Course. I don't think they're going to run a we don't have enough races race in the Indy Road Course. If they're going to run the Indy Road Course, they're going to do it right. They're going to announce it well ahead of time, and they're going to sell tickets out the wazoo for it, like big package deals with Indy 500 tickets and everything like that. I just don't see them just on a flyer going, oh, we'll do the Indy Road Course. To me, it's the stupidest thing you could do as IMS. Now, the IndyCar series may want them to do it, but IMS is, you got to know, of the two organizations between IndyCar and IMS, which one of them actually has more clout?
Yeah.
I would say IMS.
IMS pays the bills.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I just can't, you know, I just can't see them just crapping something out to run the road course on short notice. So we'll see. If they do, let me put it this way. I will be shocked. I mean, just absolutely shocked. And I think it's going to do more to harm the image of IMS.
That's true.
Anyway.
I can buy that.
You know, we've heard stuff from Phoenix and from Armco Glenn.
Oh, yes. Armco was talking about 2013.
Yeah, and both of them were basically saying 2013 they're interested. But basically, if you read the quotes from the articles, it basically went like this. Give us a call.
Yeah, right.
We'd love to talk to you about it. So that's an interesting one. The IndyCar series is going to have to show some really good things this year, or it's going to start spiraling, and track rentals will become the mode of operation.
Yeah. Well, I guess how about we just set up a autocross course?
You know, what we could do is we could build like a giant tilkydrome out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, nice.
And we could make it so they can configure the track into like 52 different arrangements.
Oh, nice. I like this.
We could just run one race one weekend, then come back the next weekend. And all the teams could be right around it, you know. Maybe they could build it right, you know, like Zionsville or, you know, Noblesville. Or
there you go.
Something like so it's right outside Indy, so the teams don't have to travel far. And they could even permanently, you know, have permanent emplacements for the cameras and everything like that. And the next thing you know, the cost of running the series goes way down because you're just going to one track.
Oh, yeah. With 52 different layouts.
Well, two tracks. I mean, you'll still go to Indy. Hey, maybe you'll go to Texas and Iowa still, you know.
Yay.
Oh, goodness. Ouch. This hurts. It really does.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about their schedule they've announced. Can't you tell?
Oh, I know. Me too. We wait an extra week for this.
Yeah. Bring on Bahrain. I'm far more interested in Bahrain than this garbage. Wow.
Oh, my. I can't believe he just said that.
I can't either, but it's the truth. I mean, outside of Indy and a couple other races, I'm just Ouch. Yeah. It's going to be hard for me to watch Belle Isle.
Yeah. I agree.
Go ahead.
Well, just speaking of Texas.
Yeah.
It looks like the criticism from many of the people has many of the competitors has been heard, and it appears as though Texas is going to go back to the 550-kilometer race.
Isn't this interesting? I mean, up to like a week and a half ago, we were basically being told that Texas was going to be a doubleheader, and it was going to pay double points. It wasn't going to pay half points.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, they announced, here's what I think happened. I think that IndyCar went to IZA and said, hey, we've got a 16-race schedule. Look, we're racing at Texas twice on the same weekend, pays full points. And Izod said, nah.
We don't do that.
So they had to call Eddie again. Hey, Eddie, about that double race.
We can't.
Not going to pay double points. Okay, well, I don't know. I'm a little concerned about this because they're jacking around with Texas. Don't jack around with Texas. Don't mess with it. It's already a good event. You've got a good promoter. You've got a good crowd. Don't screw around with it so much with this, announcing it's going to be double points, two separate races, and then going back to, this, that, and the other, and flipping the tires around. And
yeah.
It's just, gaw. I just don't want to see him burn this bridge. I really don't.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Eddie Gossage said in the Fort Worth Star that the fans lost interest.
Mm.
But I thought he said the fans liked it before.
Well, it depends. I think it depends on what he was trying to promote at the time. He's a promoter, and he has to put a brave face on everything. So.
Mm.
I'm not begrudging him that. He at his heart, he's a salesman, and he's gonna try and hide the Carfax from you as much as he can.
Nice, I like that. Well,
anyway, so I'm happy they're returning to the single race format. I thought it was interesting to do the double, and I liked the idea, but after seeing it once, the racing wasn't good at Texas last year, regardless of whether they did the long format race or the short format race. The racing wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe getting into longer runs and, having to set up for, an endurance run will make it a more interesting race. So yeah. Anyway,
All right,
Texas. So what about Baltimore?
Yes, as the world turns, Baltimore has said bye-bye to the Baltimore Racing Development, the organizers, if you remember, the folks who put together the Baltimore Grand Prix. It was a fantastic race. It was enjoyed by many. Had a couple of hiccups early on in the weekend, but those got ironed out real quick. But it appears, though, Baltimore said, okay, you guys can't pay the bills. You're going away.
Yeah, I mean, basically, the city gave an ultimatum to BRD, and they basically said, you've got to pay off the rest of the people. You've got vendors, suppliers, and the city, which are owed money. Mm-hmm. And the city made the demand that they pay off all the debts. Change their management and restructure the finances to be able to keep its original, their original contract. And mm-hmm. BRD basically didn't do much with that. They haven't. Their quotes, and this is from Baltimore Deputy Mayor for Economic Development.
Mm.
You gotta have
that's an interesting
for everything.
Yeah, that's an interesting job title.
Yeah. BRD hasn't come up with a plan to demonstrate that they have the capacity to have a successful event next year. They haven't come up with a plan to reorganize. They haven't come up with a plan to pay their debts.
Mm.
But the city said this event had a great economic impact on the city, and it was an event that citizens of Baltimore were excited about. it should continue.
Hmm.
In the end, though, what this comes down to is they're down a promoter, and they're looking for one.
Oh, yeah.
And without a promoter, this event is not going to happen. Somebody has to be willing to come in and play the role of promoter using, you know, the finances that the city's already established. And that could be difficult. You know, we're, what, 7 months away from the event? It runs in June, right?
September.
September? Yeah, never mind. Sorry. Anyway, that's difficult. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, that's gonna be that'll be an interesting story to follow. Now, there's been rumors of potential people to come in who have shown some interest, but nothing definitive. But something needs to be done, or we're not gonna have a race, and then we're gonna be down to 14 races instead of 15 races.
Yeah.
And that's two below. And at this point, the WRC has more events than the IndyCar schedule, IndyCar calendar.
Wow.
And that's embarrassing.
That is. So, I mean, for a series that basically runs once a month.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Jeez. Now, what's the list of people to come in and run it? Because the city also laid out their stipulation. Quote, the circle of people who have the expertise and experience is very small, and we will only have discussions or only be having discussions with the group. That group of people that has the experience and expertise. Who are those people? I think, you know, you think of like Green Savory. They just bought a track, though, and I'm wondering if they're interested in jumping in with another event. I mean, who else has been running these events? I don't know what Penske promotes the Baltimore race, but or not
no,
Baltimore,
Belle
but
Isle.
Detroit. But I don't think they're going to jump in with anything else unless there's a business connection there.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of other races and how they're ran, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's dark times for sure for Baltimore, which would be a real shame too, because the race was beautiful and generated a lot of positive talk.
Yeah. Now, what's the group that runs, say, Edmonton and the Montreal Grand Prix? That's a potential there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't know.
I'm not sure either. I don't know much about the business of promoting the race. So,
well, we'll just put it this way: it was a bad investment for the first people there. The last time we saw one of these revolving door promoter arrangements, that was Milwaukee.
Hmm. We saw how that went.
Yeah, that doesn't bode well. Hopefully, the city's been working with a couple of other promoters to try and get this resolved, because I'd hate to see this one go away just because the promoter was such a crappy one.
Yeah.
But in the end, the promoter lost money because it wasn't a good business deal for them.
Yeah, they didn't have a good plan.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Well, Mike Conway. Let's talk about a positive. Mike Conway. He has come out and signed with AJ Foyt, as it's been announced already. And I'm going to go out on a limb and admit that this kind of took me by surprise.
Yeah, it took me by surprise as well. I actually did hear some rumblings of it from, you know, the guys at Trackside and all that kind of stuff. They were hinting that this might happen. This is a weird one, because here's the deal. AJ Foyt has ABC lined up as their sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the few paying rides in IndyCar. And they've lined it up, and they went out and hired Mike Conway. So they like what they see with him.
Hmm.
So what it comes down to is this is pretty much pay seat.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Conway gets it. That's impressive.
Yeah, especially after all the disasters that happened in Indianapolis and all that last year. I mean, 2011 was not Mike Conway's best year in a race car.
I just have one question. If you've got a pay seat available, why didn't you hire Oriel Servia? Seriously?
Oh, my. Oh, my. Here it comes. I knew it. The hate. flows from you.
I think it's funny, though. I was snooping around Indiana Open Wheel, which is mainly sprint cars and that sort of thing. Mm. And a lot of times you'll hear the ire from those guys as to why they don't watch IndyCar. It's because, you know, it's all these foreign pay drivers and everything like that. And none of the, you know, sprint midget guys actually get into IndyCar anymore. Well, there's reasons for that. We all understand that. We're not going to rehash that argument. But the funny thing is, you know, one of the guys on there pointed out, hey, this is your all-time great all-time USAC, you know, most wins guy, AJ Foyt, going out and hiring a foreign driver. And he's done it year on year on year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Say something bad about AJ Foyt and watch him throw a wrench upside your head.
Yeah, exactly. He might get whacked like Ari Leyendyke did.
I remember that.
Indeed.
Nasty.
Yeah. So interesting for Conway. I'm pretty happy to see him land in a pay seat, though. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'm kind of upset that Vitor is gone now, though.
Yeah, I am too, but I think there are some things they're trying to do with the team. The team is pretty closed-mouthed about it, but they want to get a second car for next year. They've made some changes. They went out and hired a new engineer to run the organization, and the name escapes me right now, but they went out and hired somebody good. Mm. You know, Larry Foyt's been running that team for the last couple of years, and it looks like they're doing what they can to actually make it a better team, even though they, you know, they're out in the middle of Texas, pretty far away from where everybody else runs their IndyCar organizations, mm-hmm. Indianapolis and Chicago. There's a couple out of there. So, there's one out of Chicago now that Newman Haas isn't.
Yes.
Ouch.
Sorry about that.
Ow.
Well, speaking of other things with your boy Oriole, you know, he's also lost his number.
Yeah, that's true. Oriole ran the number 2 last year. Newman Haas is now defunct, so Penske picked it up. Interesting. Mm-hmm. They're going to replace Briscoe's number 6 with number 2, and they're going to replace Briscoe's engineer going into next season. So, nice. How much fun is that?
Yeah. Well, you know what this means. Helio is what, number 1? Briscoe will be number 2,
mm-hmm.
but Power is 12, which is better than both 1 and 2.
It's 1 and 2 combined.
Yeah, which means that he is like better than both of them.
Yeah, you know what Penske's doing though? They're waiting for that number 3 to come open.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Who's got that one?
Why is my brain not working right now?
Yeah, I can't remember who has the number 3, honestly.
Hmm.
Oh, wait, no, they do have number 3, because Castroneve is number 3. I'm an idiot.
Hmm. So they just have... No, they don't have number 1. Nobody has number 1.
No, so I don't know what I was thinking.
It's 2, 3, and 12.
Yeah. 2, 3, and 12. But you know what? It doesn't matter, because 12 is still more than 2 and 3.
Yeah, well, it works out that way. I don't see anything that's going to change the running order at Penske next year, especially since you have, like, what, umpteen bazillion road and street courses, yeah. And 4 ovals.
I'm calling it now, Will Power, 2012 champion, unless the Chevrolet engine is absolute trash.
There's so much of this that relies on the engines next year. I just can't see them all coming out of the gate being equal, and I give the edge to the Chevy because Ilmor's making it, and Ilmor's the one that made the, you know, the Honda what it was. Mm. And HPD took over Ilmor's spot with the engine a couple of years ago, but they didn't design the engine.
Hmm.
So
interesting. That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Anyway, Lotus.
Mm, speaking of engines,
they got the car finally fired up, put it on the dyno, and put it in a in one of the test cars and everything. They've ran the engine. They haven't ran it on track yet. They fired it up the week before Christmas. They will get a chance, though, to go ahead and put the engine into a car and get it on track. It will be in Simone Di Silvestro's HVM car at Palm Beach International Raceway on January 13th and 14th. I'm interested in that for several reasons. I think PBIR is an interesting facility with the banked corner that they have there. I just think it's a cool idea for an IndyCar road course. Now, I've been told that that just isn't a large enough facility to ever really hold an IndyCar race, but still pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Palm Beach International Raceway is owned by Scott Dixon's dad.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
That'll be cool, and it's it's good to see Lotus is coming along, kind of doing it at their own pace, you know. Everybody else is out, you know, testing already a bunch of times and everything, and Lotus is like, you know what? We'll get to it when we're ready.
Well, we couldn't quite test the car because we didn't have a car to put it in, because we hadn't assigned a team, because we didn't have an engine done, because we signed up late to the game, because Lotus didn't really know what they were doing, and we're not quite sure they know what they're doing yet.
Or maybe they do know what they're doing, and maybe they don't, maybe they seen on the horizon what was coming from IndyCar, and they weren't so sure anymore that they wanted to be a part of it.
Well, see, that's another thing. You have to wonder, given the way things have gone this year, they were making all the right noises, IndyCar was, and talking about, you know, combined 50-50 schedule, road and street and ovals, you know, having half ovals, half everything else. They're making a lot of noises that were interesting. They were doing some cool things. And now that the schedule's come out and there are four ovals on it and potentially, you know, 10, 11, 12 road street courses. You have to wonder if Chevy's looking at this investment saying, ooh, we got sold a bill of goods.
Mm-hmm.
And all those people that were wanting Ford to jump in.
They're like, ah,
we've chance.
Yeah, they're like, ah, ha, ha, see, we've done it again. We're smart.
and you know, there was a little talk there for a while that Fiat was going to jump in with the Alfa Romeo.
Ooh, that'd been cool.
Yeah, because they, you know, Fiat, well, Alfa Romeo would be the badge, but they're talking about Fiat specifically because Fiat was going to try and sell a billion of their Fiat 500s in the United States. I was on a car lot a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I sent you the picture.
Oh, yes, picture you did.
Of a Fiat 500 2012 model. Used car.
Wow. Maybe they just couldn't pay for it.
How could you not pay for it?
You're right. I'm making excuses, honestly.
I could take pocket change and buy one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounded really, yeah. No, I couldn't. But you know what I mean.
I started to say, it's like, wow, it's, you are the 1%, you ass.
Yeah, exactly. No, I didn't mean it to sound that way. It's just that the cars are so dirt cheap compared to everything else out there. You kind of get that when you put a go-kart in a, you know, metal frame and call it a car. But anyway. Nice.
If they came out with the Abarth edition here in the States, I'd buy one.
Wow.
Have you seen that thing?
No, haven't.
All right, so you've seen the Fiat 500 on the car lot and seen how small it was.
Yeah.
Now put in that engine, or put in the engine, the same horsepower that my Mazda has, and a little go-kart car like that. What could be wrong with 170 horsepower and a little trap like that thing? That thing would be hella fun to drive.
Potentially the engine ripping off its mounts because it's made out of cheap crap.
Here we go again with you stereotyping the Italian car market, which I guess...
What was it Doug said about a Fiat? Fix it again, Tony.
Dominique. Oh my goodness. You're fired. You're fired. You're fired for that.
Well, anyway, let's steer this back to IndyCar. And specifically Brian Clausen.
Yes, Mr. Clausen.
Starting next week is the Chili Bowl midget race in Tulsa, Oklahoma, inside the Tulsa Convention Center. This is the biggest short track race of the year for just about everybody. You usually get some 150 or more midgets show up for this thing. It's like a 5-day event, And it's a big deal. Tony Stewart always goes out for it. A lot of the, you know, Dave Blaney's and a lot of the guys who run just about everything show up out there. And Claussen is going again this year with IndyCar colors on his vehicle. They're going to go ahead and throw some cute pictures of the IndyCar logo and
How nice.
Yeah, it's pretty, whatever, nobody cares. I mean, let's go back to my conversation about Indiana Open Wheel. Just because you have one guy that's going to come in and run an occasional race in IndyCar because he did so well in USAC, it really doesn't mean anything, because in the end the USAC cars and the IndyCars are so different, it's ridiculous. USAC, you have no wing, you have no downforce, you have a front engine, you have completely different style of car, you've got way crazy high horsepower compared to horsepower to weight ratio. Those cars are little rockets, especially the sprint cars. You compare that with what you have in IndyCar, I mean, it's just so different among everything. And then throw in the fact that, oh yeah, in IndyCar now we're running 10 road street courses that these guys don't run at all, because let's be blunt. In NASCAR, there are 130 some seats every weekend that get prime billing. When you talk about the Sprint Cup and the Nationwide and the Truck Series, and then all the other, you know, Touring Series, Well and Modifieds, all that kind of stuff, there are a lot of pay seats in NASCAR, and there are not very many in IndyCar. So why would you put all of your money into trying to get into one of the, you know, 20 some IndyCar seats when the only thing in IndyCar that pays is those 20 some seats?
Yeah,
and among them, maybe 10 of those actually pay. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid of all the NASCAR guys out there who are basically, basically saying the reason that I follow NASCAR now is because this is where all the USAC guys go. I mean, I don't watch NASCAR races, but I'm more interested in a lot of the names that are in NASCAR right now than I am in the IndyCar names. So.
Tragic, really.
Yeah, it is. It's sad, but it is what it is.
Well, let's talk about the IndyCar feeder series, shall we? Yeah, because we have the Firestone Indy Lights calendar announced. And as Doug said before, I called him right before the show. He's like, nothing new.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, we're not really, there's not really anything earth-shattering. Can be seen August 5th. They will be going back to Trois-Rivières in Quebec, which will probably, again, be a standalone event for the – well, you know, the Indy Lights car should be headlining that event like they did this year.
It's interesting, though, when you go to the bottom of the schedule, they call it a 12 event. 12 races divide among ovals, temporary street circuits, and permanent road courses. The funny thing is they list 12 weekends, and the last of those 12 is listed TBD. So I think there's a lot of hope that they're going to get that season finale, some undisclosed location, Vegas street course. I think there's a lot of stock going into that event because they absolutely have to have it happen. Because if they don't, they default on their whole ISOD contract and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, all that fun.
The last thing you want to do is give ISOD a breach of contract, therefore allowing them to disappear from the series, because I would say you haven't done much to impress them right now.
I agree. That would be bad news for them.
Yeah, and then also potentially bad news. Doug has mentioned before that not many people have signed up for Indy Lights for next year. I mean, the last time we talked about, there are like two potential teams that have said they were running Indy Lights next year, and a lot of that comes down to the cost. Right now, the Indy Lights car runs about $600,000 for the car.
Mm.
That's more than the IndyCar car for next year. The Indy Lights car, the 2011 Indy car costs like $700,000 for the chassis and spares. The 2011 Indy Lights car cost $600,000 for chassis and spares.
Hmm.
It still costs more. It still costs that $600,000, so it's fully $200,000 more than the Indy car to run that car. Please explain to me why this is a good investment for teams.
No, I agree.
It's not. They need to get that thing replaced. If they are smart, they would just go ahead and punt Indy Lights this year and not try and make a big deal of it. Replace it with the USF 2000 Star Mazda cars and go on into next year with the potential of developing a new Indy Lights car.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens.
Mm, we shall. We shall.
But
so,
the Freedom 100 this year, mm-hmm. if there are like three cars running for that, it's a return of Formula One.
Boo.
I threw my beer can on the track.
Yeah. Right.
There goes my Foster's oil can.
By God, these Formula One cars. Which is a good segue there, Mike.
Indeed.
Into Formula One. How about you lead us off with that?
Yeah, not a lot to talk about in Formula One. I mean, really, we're still hearing things. I think McLaren came out and said they're going to be ready February 1 and going to be at the first test. So that's really the only big news that came out of Formula One. Aside from that, an article in Autosport was interesting, came out, make you feel happy.
Yeah!
They went ahead and they tabulated all of the overtaking maneuvers in Formula One this year, and they came up with a list of the most overtaking maneuvers by given drivers. And the top of the list with 116 passes was one Herr Schumacher.
Ah, yes. He was the best at something. He was even more of a prolific overtaker than Lewis Hamilton. Hamilton would have got the award had he not hit everybody he tried to pass.
I was shocked by that. I wonder if the reason that Lewis Hamilton isn't on this list is because they're considering overtake for position from the beginning of the race or something like that. I don't know, because you know, for every overtake he made, he lost a position. So.
Oh, exactly. It cancels itself out.
I don't know. I mean, that can't be the case, because
no.
Schumacher wouldn't have improved his qualifying by 116 places.
No, no.
This season. If he did that, that means he would have been starting from the back every race, which he did. So.
No, he was usually solid mid-pack.
Yeah, so 116 overtakes from Michael. That's pretty phenomenal. What's interesting is just what you just said is Lewis Hamilton. He's not even on the list of the top 10, which shocked me.
He's prolific.
Exactly.
He is prolific at overtaking.
Well, and especially this year, the way things have gone, because he is so much fun to watch on the track. I mean, you know, he would have his little blow up, you know, he'd have a run in with the FIA, you know, throw a bad move in qualifying or whatever. And the next thing you know, he's starting from mid pack or, you know, he screwed up the start or whatever. And he just seemed to be back there in like 8th, 10th position for most races. And then he'd just work his way up to the front again and end up finishing on the podium or the top five or something like that. And it was just a blast to watch, because the guy just he was mad at passing. I mean, just great skills.
Obviously not as good as Schumacher, because he's
so crazy. I thought that was just worth mentioning, because I knew it tickled your Schumacher center of your brain.
Yes, indeed. And notice that Felipe Massa is 10th on the list.
Indeed.
Lewis is a bitter rival.
Yes, his bitter rival by default, since Lewis kept showing up around Felipe's position on the grid.
I just think it's funny.
You know, just north of the Cosworth end of the grid.
Oh, nice. We are just north of the Cosworth end of the grid.
Nice. Oh, goodness.
Back there, you'll see everybody who doesn't matter.
Yeah. You know, if you're just in front of the Cosworth end of the grid, that means you're like a lap and a half up on your, you know, the people behind you.
Nice.
At least. Yeah, well.
Well, last bit of news is an interesting development coming out of India. And that that being the I-1 Super Series. Dun dun dun.
It's so super they use I in small case.
Indeed. Well, it's kind of like an iTunes or an iPhone.
Ah,
You know,
it's like,
it's catchy
yeah.
that way.
Wow. Anyway,
Well,
well,
big names.
it is big names. I mean, for compared to what that region is used to with motorsport and everything, you're talking about Antonio Luzzi, Karun Chandak, Giancarlo
Giancarlo.
Fisichella, Jacques Villeneuve.
Oh,
Now,
Lord.
there's the reason you should watch this series. John Alesi, who's been showing up in everything, including an IndyCar for next year. Supposedly, he's going to qualify and win for the 500.
Ryan Harold Frentzen.
Yeah.
Mika Salo. Sakan Yamamoto.
Alex Yoon, Neil Yani, and
Dun, 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 dun.
this is to get all of you IndyCar fans to watch this series. Pippa Mann.
Yes. I hope
She of the burnt finger, she will show you the way.
she has a bionic can.
It's more machine now than woman.
Yeah, right. You know what's really sad though is I was looking at ESPN F1.com, which is where you've taken us tonight on the show notes, for the names of the amazing talent to be fielded. And actually, some of it is very good. I remember Frentzen. I liked Frentzen.
Oh yeah,
Fissi.
driving the orange Arrows
Oh
car. That was
yeah, I
beautiful.
love the Arrows car.
I did too, man. That was my favorite team until they stopped being a team.
Then you got Fissi, Alesi, but they have all these related links to the drivers, but they don't have one for Pippa Mann. What the hell, yo?
What is that?
That's
Seriously,
crap.
come on. Well. You're right, though. There's a pretty good list of drivers. I mean, none of these are top shelf drivers. I mean, probably the guy that's the top shelf among them is Jacques Villeneuve. The rest of them are pretty decent. Sakan Yamamoto, he's pretty bad. There's no way around it. But here's the deal. There are two things we'll talk about. Going on with this, they're going to be running the Radical Sports Car SR3
Oh, I told
Roadster.
you. I told you it looked
Yes.
just like a radical.
There you are. There you are.
Vindicated.
There you are. Now, the other thing that we should mention on this is they're going to run this over the course of 10 races over 5 weekends. So, two, five double headers at tracks such as Malaysia, Bahrain,
Oh, boy.
Qatar, the MotoGP course, I'm assuming.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
India, and culminating in the final round at Yas Marina. What's interesting about this is the I1 series. It's supposed to be the Indian series, and they run in India 1 weekend, and the rest of them are in the Mid East
Yeah.
and Malaysia.
The interesting thing, though, is that the teams, there's going to be 18 cars, okay? So that's what, 9 teams? 9 times 2 is 18. There we go. I can do simple math.
Yay, there you go.
for the longest time, I didn't think I could do that. Yeah, but anyways, they've got 9 teams, 2 cars per team, and one driver on the team must be Indian. So you'll have 9 Indian drivers, and then 9 of these all-stars, if you will. I mean, with Jacques Villeneuve on the list, yeah, they're all-stars, okay? And they will, yeah, they're going to do battle. So it'll be 9 Indian dudes and nine all-stars. I would say 9 all-star dudes, but there's also a dudette in the thing. But it's interesting because it says the result. The article specifically says the result will be an 18-car grid with the drivers chosen by the teams from a pool of 27 drivers.
I don't quite understand what that's gonna mean. The Indian teams will represent different Indian cities, something in a mirror of, I guess, some sort of cricket league that's been successful there.
So it's like a Superliga almost.
Yeah, maybe that's kind of the way it's gonna go because they're gonna represent regions and what have you. So, it kind of has the feel of what they do with the V8 Gold Coast race now, kind of a invitational all-star type race that they do with the V8 drivers, except for the fact that the V8 drivers are, good.
Yeah.
I hate to say this, but of the drivers they list, Karun Chandhok, is he the only Indian in there?
He's the only Indian, like, all-star driver, if you will.
Yeah.
He's got quite a bit of talent there.
Yeah, and according to Tony Fernandez, the reason that Force India doesn't have any Indian drivers is because there aren't any good ones. So,
well, just tell us how you really feel about the motherland.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Tony Fernandez was saying just last week, our last show, we talked about some comments that he was making about how Formula One needs to do something to promote Formula One in India. And this is the closest that I've seen that anything's actually happening, because there's, you know, some other outside entity has decided this is a good idea to try and promote racing in India with, you know, all these name drivers and everything. And it's a good idea. It's a really good idea. Hopefully it works out well for them and it draws interest to motorsport.
No, for sure. It's really funny. One of the comments on the article says, cool, that'll show all India that their drivers can't even beat old F1 drivers like Villeneuve and Frentzen.
Nice.
And then he goes on to say he feels it's too soon for such a race, and let the Indian talent develop. So,
Yeah, and this is a way to let the Indian talent develop.
Oh, yeah, pit them against good drivers. You can only get better if you drive against better drivers.
Well, that's true. And then beyond that, it's not like you're driving against Alonso and Schumacher and Dario Franchitti and Tony Stewart.
Well, yeah.
The who's who of the world drivers market.
Yeah, the who's who of the drivers market these days. Crowded lot, that is.
Yeah, anyway.
So, I don't know. It'll be interesting for sure. I look forward to it. I really do. So...
Yeah, well, it's not like we'll ever see one of these races here in the States. If we do, that means Speed Channel has been resurrected from its ashes.
Vision. And,
yes. No longer a shadow of its former self.
Well, I think that's all we have.
That's all I got.
So, yeah, well... A bit of a lazy week, honestly, with the holiday and everything going on. So not a lot of stuff to discuss. But we will be back next week with all your hot news from around the motorsports world.
Sweet.
Hopefully it'll be a bit more productive. It sounds like there's going to be some news cropping out, perhaps from I think I've heard from the lines of like maybe Ray Hall Letterman, maybe a new IndyCar chief. And stuff like that. We'll wait.
From everything I've heard, that long list of names for the IndyCar, chief steward, reads like this: Bo Bearfield.
Yeah, right.
So I think at this point it's just a matter of coming to terms with him, and if they don't, look for it to be some sort of committee.
Yeah, right. There we go.
With Brian Barnhart at the helm.
Yeah, and the only way that you can offer penalties is via your Sprint mobile device or your Verizon mobile device.
There you go. We're all going to vote with our droids at home.
Should he?
It's going to be a fan vote, up or down. Should he get penalized? The chief stewards have all weighed in via their droids.
Yeah.
And that would mean that to be a true IndyCar fan, you'd have to have a droid phone so you could vote. You know, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be all like that.
Well, all right. Well, that's all we have. No, that's not all we have. We have another contest.
Uh-oh.
We have another contest question from Doug for the Accelerate stuff. Okay, so this week, this is a good prize. Hat... stickers, I don't know if it was, he said it was front, I'm pretty sure it's front wing end plate off the F2000 car from Accelerace. But here's what you have to do, is you have to go to Accelerace's YouTube channel and tell us which color gloves, which color – this is going to be tough. Which color gloves Artie is wearing in St. Petersburg?
Ooh.
And you can find that on their YouTube channel. So go to Accelerace YouTube channel. What color gloves was already wearing at St. Petersburg.
Wow, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, so you might have to dig around for that one a little bit. But if you do, you get a front wing end plate suspension piece, stickers, and a hat from Acceleration Motorsports. Be sure to head over to their Facebook and give it a like, and follow them on the Twitter, at Acceleration.
Sweet.
Yes.
An end plate. I need to get one of those.
I do, too. Again, if Doug was here, I'd ask him if there's any way I could compete, and he would tell me no. yeah.
Dang you, Doug.
Darn you and your rule stickling.
Yeah, so. Indeed.
But, yeah, that's all we have for this week. Be sure to give us a shout on the Facebook. Give us a like. Tell your friends, if they're motorsports fans whatsoever, to give us a like. You can also follow us on Twitter, at Open Paddock. Yeah, tell your friends to follow us on the Twitter as well. Great stories that come out on the Twitter. And a very special welcome to all of our new followers on the Twitter. We got quite a few today.
Sweet.
So welcome to them. Very happy to have you and hope that you'll stick around. And let's see what else. Oh, yes, how could I forget? You can also head on over to the iTunes page and give us a rating if you so choose, with some feedback there. And if you want, you can just give us, you know, 1 through 5 stars, or you can just go ahead and give us that grade and write us either a, you know, kind review or a scathing review. Your choice. So, but, you know, let us know what we can do to improve the show. Granted, I hope that you don't use this week as an example, because it's been a boring week, so we haven't been able to get into much news. But, you know, usually gets pretty lively around here, and we welcome you guys sitting and listening, so we do appreciate that. So,
good deal. Well,
all right.
Well, I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Yeah, yeah.
Hanukkah, Kwanzaa.
Festivus.
All those things, you know. Happy holidays, but, you know, anyway.
Yes, you're done being politically correct, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, I celebrate Christmas, so, you know. Anyway, the other thing to note is we're happy that everybody's actually going back to work and being productive next week, for those of you who have jobs. So congratulations for having a job, because that's kind of hard these days.
Do you have a job?
I have a job.
Oh.
I like it, too, and it allows me to buy, you know,
yes,
Fiat 500s with pocket change.
Nice.
I roll like that. Yeah.
You're a baller.
Yeah, anyway.
So, all right, well, that's all we have. So thanks a lot, everybody, and, yeah, we will talk to you next week then. Thank you.